Praise the Lord. I'm teaching to you today on a message entitled Stewarding the Dream. Stewarding the Dream. Let's have a word of prayer and we're going to get right into the Word of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here. We thank you for teaching us, opening our eyes, opening our ears to hear what you want us to hear, to see what you want us to see. And we thank you that as our heart is changed and we turn to you, our lives are healed. Our lives are restored in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You know, as I was studying for this message, it was amazing to me. I picked up a book that I had purchased. It was actually written in 2006, to tell you how timeless the anointing of God is. This book I was using as part of my studies this week, it was written in 2006. I bought it about 2010, and here it is 2023. And when I flipped open to the chapter I decided to pour over for this message, the very scripture that opened in that chapter in that book is the scripture that's my main text for today. How amazing is that? That it was written 17 years ago, bought 13 years ago, and I just happened to open it in 2023, and there the anointing says, same word you're preaching tomorrow at church, here it is. That's amazing, isn't it? If you're going to do anything in life, you might as well do it under the anointing, because the anointing is timeless. I just thought that was so powerful. Well, last week we talked about dreams, visions, and goals. If you weren't here, you can go back to our website. You could tap that message. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. Dreams, visions, and goals. In 11 years of preaching, it's the first time I've ever really focused on that topic. The Lord had some strong things to say to us. One of the things he talked about was writing the vision. Do you remember that? Yep. Writing the vision, making it plain, keeping it before your eyes on a continual basis and declaring the vision, declaring that dream that God puts in your heart to see it come about. We talked about how God uses us as co-laborers with him. We work with God to bring these things about in the earth. Amen. God doesn't do everything on his own. Did you know that? Religion says, oh, if it's supposed to be, God will do it. Nope. Nope. There are many things God won't do without our cooperation. There are many things he can't do without our cooperation. The Bible says Jesus went to his hometown. He could do no miracles, no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Their belief or unbelief determined how much he could do in their lives. It's the same with us today. Our cooperation with God is so vitally important. When Jesus stood up to read on Inauguration Day, if you will, he's in his hometown in Nazareth. He stands up in the synagogue to read, and he opens the scroll. And the scroll was handed to him, and he opened it to a page, a particular verse in a particular book in the Bible, Isaiah 60, written some 700 years before he stood up there in Nazareth to read. And he basically declared, this is my mission statement. This is my vision. This is my goal. He said, these words were written about me, and today they're fulfilled. So Jesus did what we were talking about last week. Jesus spoke, he saw the vision, he saw it written in written form, he declared it, and he identified with it. Amen? That's what Jesus did. Well, today I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to talk to you about protecting the dream, protecting or stewarding the dream. You know, Mark 4 talks quite a bit about the different hearts that are involved when the word is sown. And how that the enemy comes in so many different ways, amen, to try to bring persecution or deception or distraction to steal from the seed that's sown. Why does he do that? Because there is amazing potential. Say amazing potential. Amazing. In the seed. Yeah. That's why Satan through Herod struck out at all the babies there in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. Because he knew the potential that was in the seed of this Messiah to come. And so the enemy knows that. Proverbs chapter 4 in your Bibles, please. Proverbs 4. This is the passage that I found in that book that I picked up so many years ago. When I started reading, this was the first scripture I came across in that chapter. I was like, amazing how the Holy Spirit can time this so perfectly. Proverbs 4:23. Are you ready? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep there means to guard. In fact, some translations say it that way. They say, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because out of your heart flows all the issues of life. Amen? Amen? In the New International Version, it says the heart is the wellspring of life. The wellspring of life. And nobody wants to drink from a dirty faucet, right? I don't. It's important that that faucet be clear of debris, anything that might contaminate. Why? So that the wellspring of life can flow out as it was intended. Amen? And your heart is that wellspring of life. That's what this verse is saying. So guard it. Keep it. Terry spoke on this a couple weeks back when she addressed the ladies here in the church. She spoke on framing your world. She talked about how the heart, the inside, what we cultivate inside defines the world around us. Amen? You ladies that were there, it was a great message. And in other words, the external is an expression of the internal. Your world is a direct reflection of what's in your heart. Did you know that? Your house, your surroundings, the environment in your home, your relationships, your sphere. Everywhere we go, you and I carry a sphere of influence, and that sphere is determined by our heart. Our heart, what we've cultivated in the way of attitudes and thoughts in our heart. As Bill Johnson was quoted as saying, I had Alan put this on a slide for him so you could see it, what reigns on the inside reigns on the outside. Kind of a play on words there. You see the difference? What reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, in other words, what rules on the inside reigns on the outside. Amen. Expresses itself outwardly. Isn't that good? Wish I'd have said that. That's a great quote. I heard of a teenage millionaire, a teenage businessman who did his first million in business, and his friend asked him, someone that was close to him said, well, wonder what it feels like. What does it feel like to you now that you're officially a millionaire? And the young man had the wisdom to say, it feels the same as it did 2 years ago when I didn't have the money yet. See, the difference was 2 years ago, I was still a millionaire on the inside. I just didn't have the money. You see it? What a smart kid. I wonder who raised that boy. It feels the same way. In other words, inside of my heart, I birthed this vision of being a millionaire. And in his faith, and in his embracing of that concept of I am a millionaire, the only difference 2 years down the road was the money was in the account. But it felt the same. Why? Because faith embraces the whole picture. It embraces that whole identity. Amen? It embraces that whole experience just without the outward results. But it starts inward first. Do you see that? Few of you do. There's a funny story of a set of grandparents that goes to visit their family, and while they're there, grandpa takes a nap in the afternoon, and while he's napping, the grandkids come around and they play a little trick on grandpa and they rub Limburger cheese in his mustache. And when he wakes up, he exclaims, stinks in here. Ugh. He leaves that room, he walks into the kitchen, starts looking around, stinks in here too. Then he steps out onto the front porch to get some fresh air because the whole house stinks. Takes a big deep breath and realizes, the whole world stinks. What is that a story of? Outlook. Your outlook determines your world. Your inward determines your outward. Amen? You know, even lost people without Jesus, get a hold of this principle. Now, you know, it's sad when God's people don't latch onto it because we have the full promise. Amen? Not only the promise of what God has given us, but we have his presence to help us walk into it. But the world recognizes these truths, and they embrace them. They say things like, I'm a millionaire, when their bank account's in the red. They do that even apart from Jesus. We got Jesus on our side, amen? We got the true blessing. Let's walk in it in 2023, amen? Let's embrace it. Well, we're talking about there in Proverbs 4, how to guard your heart. Someone say, well, I can't even see my heart. What does that mean, guard your heart with all diligence? Keep your heart with all diligence. What does that mean to keep my heart? What is the part of me that's my heart? Well, if we don't define things like this, it just becomes a kind of a Bible cliche. Keep your heart. Go home and keep your heart. Okay, sure. What is your heart? Your heart is your thoughts and your attitudes. It's very simple. See, your heart, not your physical, not the organ that pumps blood in your body, you understand, but the heart of you is like a, it's like putty, really, because it's totally malleable. It's moldable. It's shapeable. And how is it shaped? By the thoughts that you allow in your mind, by the attitudes you cultivate. See, your thoughts eventually become your attitudes. Did you know that? You can be in line at Walmart and you start to get impatient and you start to say the same thing. You start to mutter the same things of the lost people around you, people that don't have Jesus in their hearts. Oh, she's taking all day. You know, these little sarcastic remarks come out. And if even if you don't say them with your mouth, if you say them in your heart and you approve, you know, there's a little switch in your mind that goes, approved, ching. I approve this message, right? That's what the politicians say. We're going to hear a lot of that here in the next year and a half. I approve this message. See, when you allow that thought, now it's one thing for that thought to pass through your mind. I mean, we all feel impatience at times, right? It's what you do with it. Yeah. Right. Do you approve this message? Or do you answer it with the word of God? Love is patient. Even when you don't feel patient. See, you counter those bad attitudes. You counter those negative thoughts with this book. That's why you got to know this book. Jesus totally defeated Satan, the god of this world, little g, with the words of this book. It is written. That's why you and I need to know what is written. So when we're tempted to have a bad attitude, we can counter it and say, no, love is patient. I don't feel patient, but I choose patient. Right? Because love's not a feeling. Good attitudes are not a feeling, they're a choice. Yes. Your attitudes will eventually mold you into your identification, your ID. What is your ID, you know? Some places we go, they demand to see our ID. Well, if they could really see our heart, that's your true ID. And your identification is what you've become over time as you've allowed thoughts which shape attitudes, and then you've embraced those attitudes and said, yes, I approve this attitude. That's because that is the becoming of your heart. That is the becoming of your identification in life. So when it says in the Bible, guard your heart, keep your heart, you start by keeping your thoughts. It's real simple. That's practical. We can do that, right? We can choose that. When we were at the men's advance a couple weeks ago, that place in which we all got our acts together, we talked about this idea of in 2023 forcing the change in our life. Many of us know areas of our life that need changing, but to actually take an aggressive attitude that says, I will force this change. I'll be responsible to make this change come about. I won't just wait for it to hit me out of the sky or fall on me like a ripe cherry from a tree. No, I'm going to make this choice this change happen. We choose change in our lives. Amen? Amen. Men? Yeah. Romans 2. Turn over there with me, please. Romans chapter 2. You'll be encouraged to know last week's message was 13 pages of notes. Well-spaced, mind you, but this week's is about 4, so just... I'm giving you a break. I'm going easy on you this week. Romans 2, 7. Look at this verse in the King James. Romans 2, 7. To them who by patient continuance... Say patient... continuance. Patient continuance in well-doing seek what? Glory, honor, immortality. He gives them eternal life. This is a good confession for you every day before you walk out the door. Why? Because you're going to be tried. You're going to be tried with corruption, bad attitudes, hatred, road rage, all the above. But for those who by patient continuance in doing good, in well-doing, I think it says in the King James, seek glory, honor, and immortality, God gives us eternal life. Pay no mention to the baby. That's mine. He's all good. God gives eternal life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality. These are our life pursuits. Amen? In Jesus. Are you aware of that? This is what we're about. This is what we're cultivating. Glory, honor, immortality. Why? Because Jesus purchased that for us. Jesus purchased that for us. I like this saying from another Bill. That was Bill Johnson I quoted a moment ago. This is from Bill Winston. What you tolerate will proliferate. and eventually dominate. I like sayings that rhyme. It's a preacher thing. What you tolerate will proliferate, it'll spread, and eventually dominate. And so next time you're given the opportunity, because it is an opportunity, whether you recognize it or not, you know, you're driving along and the Alvin train comes. And you were in a bit of a hurry. And now you have to stop. So you have an opportunity to cultivate patience. Because patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Honestly, patience is who you are. And we embrace who we are by making the choice to say, love is patient. I'll be patient. And entrusting that moment to the Father. Amen? Yes. Change comes by two ways, choices and cooperation. I've just mentioned choices here in Romans 2:7. Let me say this. Some of us need to do some repenting about our choices. Not going to open the altars right now. You can do that at home. You can do it here too if you want. What do I mean by repenting? Over the years, we've allowed things. We've said, yes, I approve this, whatever. You've watched a movie and you saw somebody murder somebody gruesomely. By your not changing the channel, you, in a sense, made the choice to approve that message, to approve that image. And whether you realize it or not, it actually stains your soul. Because when you approve it, when you say yes to it, you're, in a sense, embracing that action, that attitude, that emotion, that experience. You are embracing that as part of you. It's getting real quiet in here about now. I tell you what, the Lord's been doing some cleaning in my life. Things that years ago, man, I just would let go. Didn't realize it at the time, but just, you know, if you approve it, you're embracing it. And what happens? What did Bill Winston say? That which you tolerate will proliferate. You give way to a bad attitude, to sarcasm. You know, people say things like, serves them right. Or they think it, right? They don't say it out loud sometimes, but they think it. Well, when that thought comes into your mind, you have a choice there. Are you going to approve that direction for your heart? See, this is how we keep our heart. This is the practical side of it. And we don't just throw out the command to you, go home and keep your heart. No, let's get real here. What does that mean? It means be careful what you say yes to. Amen? And repent when you've said yes to the wrong things. Phew, you got that. Yep. Here's the truth. The Bible says that for God's blessings to come into our life, we've got to make way. What did John the Baptist do when he came before Jesus came? Jesus was about to come on the scene. And John the Baptist, he came and his message was, prepare you the way. What does that mean? And people started repenting left and right. Why? Because before God's blessing can come into our life in a big kind of way, we've got to do some preparation. Preparation of the heart. Cleaning out. It's like preparing a runway for a plane to land on, right? And if there's junk and rocks and boulders and glass all over the runway, that plane's not landing. Hebrews 12:10 makes it clear to us that God's discipline enables us to share in his holiness. In other words, God lines us up so that we can receive a download. I'll use a modern term, download. We all understand that, right? I mean, you know, you go to save something on your computer or something really special to you. Someone gives you a file and you go to save it on a thumb drive. If you're like me, you just like to wipe that thumb drive clean. It just feels good to start fresh, doesn't it? Start with a fresh thumb drive. There's nothing else on it. It's clean to receive that good thing that you're about to load on it. Well, God's that way with our hearts. See, before he'll bless your life richly, he'll come in by his Holy Spirit and he'll say, let's clean this up. Let's change this. Let's adjust this attitude, right? You've heard the phrase, your attitude determines your altitude, right? So when God wants to take you higher in life, what does he do? He starts coming in, moving by the Holy Spirit into your heart to change your attitude. Because until you can receive it in here, you won't receive it out here. It starts in here. That's why the Bible emphasizes the heart. He's a God of the heart. Look at this verse on the screen here with me, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Since we have these promises, what promises is he talking about? Well, if you read the chapter before, the end of chapter 6, he talks about God promising Israel he would come and live among them, that he would be their God and they would be his people. That's an awesome promise, isn't it? That's what we want in 2023, isn't it? We want God to come and fill our year, fill our life, fill our family, fill our pocketbook, for crying out loud. We want God to fill it. But in order for God to come and do that, what must we do? Chapter 7, verse 1. Let us, what? Purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. If you want to get good at something in 2023, there's lots of skills, hobbies, and things you could pursue. How about we pursue perfecting holiness? What does that look like? I don't know, because he's the only one who is. We sang about it a while ago. He's holy. It means he's special. He's different from all of us, right? You can only see it when you glance at him, when you open your heart to him and say, I want to be like you are. I don't understand what it means to truly be patient. I don't really know what it means to love until you reveal your love to me, but that's what I want. We're perfecting holiness because we reverence God. It's not religiosity. It's who he is. It's beautiful. It's good. It's loving. And it all starts in the heart. Amen? It starts with your attitudes, the thoughts you allow. Listen, don't be condemned when a thought comes your way. Many times it's not our thought. Satan speaks in first person. You hate that person. You know, he'll put the words in your thought as if you were thinking it. I hate them. I hate them. Or whatever. I'm being real conservative in my words here. But he puts worse things than that in your mind. I know it. Because you're all human. I'm looking around a room full of human beings. I know what it's like. He puts it in first person to try to get you to buy it, to embrace it, to approve this message. And when you do, it becomes part of your heart. And your heart is shapeable by your choices. Your heart is also shapeable by your cooperation. Before I get into that, let me show you one more verse, Song of Solomon 2:15. This is really good. Write this down and look at it in this version. This is Contemporary English Version, CEV. Our vineyards are in blossom, but we must catch the little foxes that destroy the vineyards. See, this is what the Holy Spirit's saying to us today. This verse kind of sums it up along with Proverbs 4:23. God's wanting us to be fruitful in 2023, but there are little foxes, little things that would come in and spoil the vineyard. So we got to deal with the little things. You know, for us as believers, it's not usually the big stuff. It's little stuff. And I got to tell you, it's a lifetime of dealing with the little stuff. It never ends. Just about the time you think you got your little stuff together over here, God says, you got some little stuff over here I got to deal with. It's always about something. And we just say yes. It's just about cooperating. It's saying, yes, God, I want your blessings. Therefore, I will deal with this little stuff. It's not worth the blessing. Amen. It's not worth giving up this huge, amazing inheritance in Jesus to allow these petty attitudes, these petty practices, these petty thoughts. We serve a big God. We're going to have to open up our heart to big, wonderful things in order to see his blessings in our life. Amen. Cooperating. Let's talk about cooperating real quick. Romans 6:14, can you put that up for me, Alan? Just take a note of the reference. We weren't going to turn there, but it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. That's a powerful verse. Let me give you an illustration for this verse so we can understand this idea of cooperating. You take your child to the candy store, and you know it's just like walking into a house of temptation for him, right? And you tell him, you look down, little Johnny, do not take any candy I don't buy. Don't grab a candy bar off the shelf. Don't hide some jelly beans in your pocket, right? And there's two ways to approach how you would tell your child that. One is the law and one is grace. Law says this, don't you do that, right? Don't you do that. Which emphasizes the action, the negative action. Grace says, you don't do that. Why? You're a Johnson. You're a Smith. You're a Williams. We Williams boys don't steal candy at the candy store, right? So grace says, you don't do that. Law says, don't you do that. Grace says, you don't do that. The emphasis on your identity. Do you see the difference? God says, this is who you are. Behave this way. That's what the New Covenant says. Many times in Paul's writings, in the epistles, the small books like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, it'll say, this is who you are. This is who God's made you to be. Now be it. That's in essence Paul's commands. The Bible never tells us just to be something. It tells us we are something. Are you with me? It shows you your identity now that you're in Christ. It says that you are in Christ. You are in Him who is all compassionate, all merciful, all patient. Now you be patient. It's all about identification. Let's talk real quick about some practical ways that you can work to improve your identification in 2023. Because our ID, our heart attitudes is going to really determine our preparation for God's blessing. Do you want God's blessing in this year? I do. I want it big. Number one, what are you listening to? What are you feeding on? I love what someone pointed out. They said, you know, changing what you listen to doesn't have to mean adding, it doesn't have to be changing your whole routine in life. In other words, while you're driving to work, instead of listening to jabbery talk radio, which I used to listen to all the time, it just got me worked up into a something. Now I listen to sermons. I listen to the Word of God that will build my faith. Amen. Why? Because I can take 20 minutes and I can get my feathers in a ruffle, or I can build up my spirit man and my faith man. That's a practical way that you can work on your identification in 2023. It's not adding. I'm not adding 20 minutes that wasn't available in my schedule. I'm just doing something different while I'm driving. Ladies, while you're folding clothes, you could be watching, you know, Lady Talk TV or whatever. Or you could turn on a sermon. Hey, if you don't already have it on your phone, you really ought to consider getting the Victory app. It is amazing. I'm telling you, there's some amazing teaching put out on the Victory app. You can listen to a variety of preachers. All of us have our preferences. We all have our, you know, personalities we gravitate to. There's a wide enough variety on there for everybody. The Victory app. You ought to put it on your phone. And anytime your faith is feeling low, instead of while you're folding laundry or mowing the yard or whatever, listen to faith. Why? Because it's who you are. And it helps shape who the true you is, so you will be that, okay? Yes, amen. Feed on the truth of who you are. Add that to your routine. Just change what you're listening to. Scrutinize your associations. This is real important because most of us have discovered that there's a YouTube for everything. I mean, there's a YouTube for how to fix your plumbing. There's a YouTube for how to, you know, get your fishing lure bit by the right fish. There's a YouTube for everything. And what happens is sometimes we get hooked on a particular personality on social media and we start to follow them. You ever followed somebody because you like the way they present, right? They've taught you something about your hobby and you just love it. Have you noticed that after a while of watching that person, you start to pick up their habits? The way they tell jokes, their attitudes about life, that stuff rubs off on you. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying be careful. Be careful. If you hang around 9 losers, pretty soon you'll be the 10th because of association. And I've learned real quick, you know, again, things related to my hobby, things that interest me, I have to be careful how much time I spend with people that are in that interest because they may or may not be born again. They may or may not be heading the way I'm heading in life. Amen? Watch your associations. Galatians chapter 5. Will you turn there, please? I'm talking about little things that affect your attitude, the way you think, the way you talk. All of these things shape the part of your being which the Bible refers to as your heart. And it's so important, all these little things that you allow in that condition your heart for a certain direction. Galatians 5:9 says it this way. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It didn't say a big chunk of leaven. It didn't say beware the brick of leaven. It said a little leaven. Say a little leaven. It doesn't take much to bring change. Satan can fill your head with a stupid, tiny thought. Right? Just a little bit of pride. Just a little bit of stupidity. Carelessness, revenge, whatever the attitude is, a little bit of that will go a long ways to ruin your life. We have to watch it. Amen? Little thoughts, little attitudes make a big difference. Turn back to 1 Corinthians, a couple books to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul elaborates a little more on this idea of leaven when he's talking to the Corinthian church. There's a man in the church who's living in blatant immorality, and Paul says, that's a problem. We got to deal with it. We can't let this go. Why? Because of what we just read in Galatians 5:9. Read it, quote it to me. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, he says, your glorying is not good, church. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You notice there's consistency of what Paul taught from church to church. Verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as you are unleavened. I like what the New International Version says there, that you may be a batch of bread without yeast as you really are. That was our theme a couple years ago, back when we were in the Nolan Ryan. Some of you may remember I taught that. I didn't teach it. The Holy Spirit prompted that. He says, as you really are. In other words, Paul says, this is your identity, church. You are a loaf of bread without leaven. Therefore, be it. See that? For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He's using word pictures here that relate to Jewish feast. There were certain foods they could and could not eat during certain holidays, right? Bread without yeast. What does that look like? Crackers. And a Passover lamb during Passover. It was a roasted lamb. It was roasted in a certain way. He said, that lamb represents Jesus. Jesus, the Passover lamb, has been slain. In other words, we've got to keep this feast within the rules. And here's the rules. Look at verse 8. Keep the feast not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and wickedness. What is malice and wickedness? Malice is your attitude toward man. Wickedness is your attitude before God. Malice is horizontal. Wickedness is vertical. Are you with me? Paul says, none of that, church. Keep the feast without both. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God's getting us ready for an amazing year, saints. 2023 is going to be an amazingly blessed year for those of you that will embrace it. But part of getting ready for that is priming the pump, so to say. Like I said earlier, nobody wants to drink from a dirty faucet. Amen? And for God's blessings to flow in your life, you and I have the responsibility to get the faucet ready. And how do we do that? We watch our attitudes. We watch our associations. We get rid of the leaven in our life. You're the only one that can do that. Preachers try to do it from the pulpit all the time. Don't do this. Don't watch television. Don't cut your hair short. You know, they try to tell you how to leaven your life. No, you and the Holy Ghost. It's up to you. But you've got a responsibility, and I do too. The Bible says, you perfect holiness out of reverence for God. We're called upon to do this. One last verse, 3 John chapter 2. All the way to the back, almost near Revelation. 3 John verse 2. Now we speak this blessing on almost every visitor card that we receive. When visitors turn their card into us, we send them a little thank you for coming to our church. And this is often the scripture I'll quote or have quoted over the years to our guest is 3 John 2. 3 John 2. Many of you can quote it. Let's put our eyes on it here. 3 John 2. Can I encourage you in something? Years ago, I used to feel silly carrying a Bible in a church. This is an awfully big book to carry around. Don't you ever feel sorry for carrying a Bible to church. I know it's a big book. This is a special book. We ought to be the weirdest people on earth about this. Don't be hesitant to take a big book like this into a church service. I know we got it all on our phones, our tablets, our iPads, whatever. That's cool. I used to, for about a year of my life while I was visiting a church downtown in Houston, I took my Bible through my phone, right? But there's something about putting your hands on it, putting your eyes on it, flipping the pages, hearing that beautiful sound of paper that was so, you know, through blood, sweat, and tears, this book was created for us. Amen? Take your Bible to church. Don't be afraid of it. All right, 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. How many of you want that?
Amen.
It's the two greatest blessings on earth, just about. I mean, if you're not in good health, all your prosperity is going to the doctor, right? So you got to have both. You prosper, but you got to keep your health too. Amen? And John said this wisely through the Holy Ghost. He says, I want you to prosper. Did you know God wants you to prosper? He doesn't want you to be arrogant about it. See, that's the difference between the church and the world. The church can have lots of money, but we're not haughty about it. Right. You can be rich and humble. In the world, they don't care. They don't, you know, the Bible says a rich man answereth gruffly. He answers rudely. Why? Because he's got money. He's, you know, I don't have to answer to you. We're not that way. We can be rich and humble. Amen? Just a little aside there. That you may prosper and be in health. Even how? As thy soul prospereth. Now that part's up to you. The prospering and being in health is up to God. But the soul prospering is up to you and I. Are you with me? Amen. See, it's God's responsibility to bless us. You know, you make X amount of dollars per week. That money's only going to stretch so far in the natural. But in the spirit, with the blessing on it, it's like Stretch Armstrong. It'll go on and on. It's amazing what money can do under the blessing. How many of you can say yes to that? You've seen God do that in your life. Well, see, that's God's part. God blesses our finances. God blesses us. He gives us health. Amen? We do our part. We eat right. We don't just eat chocolate bars at every meal. We know better. But, you know, we do our part, but health ultimately comes from the Lord. Amen? It's divine health. We don't call it divine health because we brought it about through our eating habits. But we do our part. But the last part of that verse says, as thy soul prospereth. Now that's your part. That's my part. Because our soul is what? Our soul is our heart. That's the, you know, that Old Testament word we saw in Proverbs 4. That was that idea of the heart. Are you with me?
Yes.
You and I are stewards of our heart. Your heart's like a garden. You determine what goes into that garden. You determine the weeds that get pulled out. When you have a bad thought come into your mind, you pull it out. You say, I cast it down in Jesus' name. It's not me. This is who I am. And you feed on the identity of who he's made you to be. Amen? Stand together with me. I want to leave you with this one last thought. Whatever big dream God puts in your heart for 2023, remember this. Me plus God, excuse me, let me say it this way. God plus me equals a majority. I don't care what you're faced with. I don't care what you're up against in believing for that big thing in your life this year. God plus me equals a majority. Amen? Say that with me. God plus me equals a majority. The whole world may be against you. God can change the world. Amen? The tax laws may not be in your favor. God can change the tax laws. The due date on your whatever bill can be changed by God, because God plus you equals a majority in that situation. Amen? Let's dream big in 2023, and let's keep our heart in the right place, keep it prepared well, and God's going to pour out blessing in us. Amen? Bow your heads together with me. We thank you, Father, today that you're working in our lives. You don't leave us alone. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're dealing with us. You're revealing with us, not in condemnation, but in clarity. Every thought, every attitude, every direction that's not of you, that's not of your spirit, that's not of your heart, Lord, you show it to us by your Holy Spirit so that we can change, so that we can cooperate with who you've made us to be. Lord, I just speak a blessing over this congregation in 2023. Magnificent blessing. Just lift your hands to heaven and receive this as I pronounce it on you. Magnificent blessing overwhelming your life in 2023. Why? Because God's got a job for his church to do. God's got a mission for our lives. Amen? We're not here for our own pleasure, our own comforts, our own direction. We are here under his mandate. We're here on kingdom assignment, and God has a job for all of us to do. He has things for us to accomplish, and we can only do it through his blessing. So we open up our souls right now, Lord. We receive your blessing for 2023. And we clear the way by preparing our hearts. For out of the heart is the wellspring of life.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. With your heads bowed for just another moment, I want to offer the opportunity for anybody that's here that needs to receive Jesus or needs to give their life back to the Lord. Maybe you've been saved before, but you've been running from God. And you say, I'm coming back to the Lord today. I want to give my heart, my life in total surrender to Jesus. If that's you today, would you raise your hand real high and I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. I want to see that. Anybody at all that says, I need Jesus to be my Savior, to wash me of my sins, or I want to return to the Lord. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for being honest. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to lead you in a prayer today of consecration, of salvation. It's what we call the sinner's prayer. Amen. We all prayed it at one time to receive Jesus. Let's pray this out loud. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, for I have been a sinner. I have transgressed against you, and there must be payment. And Jesus made that payment. I believe he is your son, that he died on the cross. And he rose on the third day. He sits at your right hand. And you, through him, make me your child right now. Through his blood, reconcile me back to you, God. I call you my Father in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for washing us in the precious blood, Lord, for cleansing our lives. And now, Lord, today, we reconsecrate ourselves, all of us here, to your purpose, Father, to your direction, to your intent for our lives. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And we will glorify you in our body and spirits, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Expect big things in 2023. Keep your heart open and let the Holy Spirit deal with you at every level. He's going to be showing you things after this message today. He'll show you areas where you've allowed wrong attitudes, wrong directions. Just say yes to his dealings. Amen. And he's going to prepare a great thing for blessing in our lives. In Jesus' name. God bless you as you go. Remember, Thursday, Saturday, big work days down at 105 Blackstone. We'll see you soon. Yeah.